Today's reading is from Psalm chapter 4. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O man, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, may me dwell in safety.
Thank you very much, Chloe. And for those of you who are new, there's also an outline of the talk this morning as well that you can find on your notice sheets. So we're beginning a new sermon series this morning called Struggles Christians Face. Those of you who come here regularly will know that our normal practice is to work expositionally through books of the Bible, where we take a scripture passage after scripture passage and work our way through it. Once or twice a year, we take a little bit of a break from that. And for the last few years, I've spent a few weeks a year looking at some common pastoral issues that Christians face in their lives. And this morning, we're beginning that by looking at insomnia or sleeplessness. And then over coming weeks, we're also going to look at the subjects of addiction and pornography as well. So that's where we're going over the next little while. Why don't I lead us in a prayer as we come to our topic for this morning of sleeplessness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do want to give thanks that you are interested and concerned about each and every aspect of our life, including how we work and also how we rest and how we sleep. And so we do pray that you might help us this morning, that you would help us to understand your word and apply it to our hearts and lives by the power of your Spirit. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So then, this morning, we are looking at the topic of sleep. Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking at the moment. Some of you are probably thinking, I've heard a lot of sermons in my life that made me want to go to sleep. But I've never actually heard a sermon on sleep. I've never actually heard a sermon on the topic of sleep. And that may well be true. And you may be wondering, why are we even looking at this? After all, isn't sleep really easy? We lie down, we close our eyes, several hours later, we open them again. You know, what is there to actually learn? And why preach about sleep? Well, my answer to that would be that this is a genuine issue for many of us, and as we'll see in a few moments, it's especially an issue here in Hong Kong, and it's also one that I believe that God's word has a lot of truth and insight to teach us about, so that's why we're looking at it this morning. I'm not sure how many of you know this, but Hong Kong has one of the highest rates of sleeplessness or insomnia in the whole world. A 2012 study from the Education University in Hong Kong found that 4 out of every 10 adults in Hong Kong, which is 2.2 million people in Hong Kong, were suffering from insomnia. The survey found that people in Hong Kong were only sleeping an average of 6.46 hours per night, which is well below the 7 to 8 hours that most adults need in order to be healthy. And I personally speak as one of them. So in recent years, I also have struggled to sleep well, and that's much more than having 3 active kids. I often find myself waking up in the middle of the night or early in the morning, turning issues over in my mind and unable to sleep. And so this has actually been a very personal issue for me as well, as I've been thinking about the whole subject of sleep. There are many reasons why insomnia may be such a big deal in Hong Kong. Here are some of the reasons that experts have given: long working hours, which of course leads to people eating and socializing later and therefore finding it hard to sleep, a very stressful lifestyle, a poor diet often, overuse of mobile phones is probably a huge one here in Hong Kong. Teenagers apparently spend 6 hours a day in front of a screen. So overuse of mobile phones and other screen devices is probably a big one. And then there may be lots of personal issues as well for us, like young kids, illness, having to work rosters perhaps. And all of these things probably contribute to what's been called the sleepless epidemic in Hong Kong. Now, we know that different people need different amounts of sleep. So a newborn baby needs around 18 hours. Most kids need 9 to 11 hours, and then most adults, 7 to 8 hours. Interestingly, that decreases as people go into old age and they need less, but then as many of us will know, old people also spend a lot of time taking naps, so that probably explains it. We all know the famous stories of world leaders who get by on much less than 7 or 8 hours sleep a night, including our very own Carrie Lam, who in a recent interview said that she exists on 3 to 5 hours a night. But of course we know that that is not healthy. And so sleeplessness is a very big issue for us, and it's an issue that I'm guessing that at least a few of us here need help with. If we're Christians, then Christ is to be Lord over all of our lives, and that includes the times that we rest and the times that we sleep. And so what can we do to sleep better under the Lordship of Christ? Well, I would like to suggest this morning that what we need is a biblical framework to help us, and that's really what I aim to give us this morning. So I won't be saying too much about medical causes for lack of sleep, although obviously these exist, and there's quite a lot of different medications that also can cause a lack of sleep. And so if you think that one of these things may be the case for you, then you ought to see a sleep specialist or a medical doctor. Instead, what I'll be focusing on this morning is we'll be seeing what God's word has to say about the subject of sleep, and then also seek to give some practical tips at the end. So then, number one, when we look at the Bible, we see, first of all, that sleep is necessary. And the first place we see this is in the example of Jesus. So, Jesus was the most perfect human being who has ever lived. He was fully God and fully man. And when we come to the Gospels, we see that he needed sleep. Now, there were lots of times in his life when Jesus went without sleep, so we could immediately think of an incident like Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, where we read that Jesus woke up very early in the morning and went to a remote place so he could pray. Or another well-known example would be in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before Jesus' crucifixion, where we see Jesus spending the night in prayer while his disciples slept. And so there's obviously times when it's right and good to go without sleep, but yet the normal routine for us and the normal routine for our physical bodies should be for us to go to sleep. So in Mark chapter 4, we have the story of Jesus calming the storm. Jesus, as you'll remember, is in the boat with his disciples. In Mark 4:37, we read that a great storm came up and waves were beginning to crash over the boat. And then in verse 38, we read these words: Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Now, the main point of this story, if you read to the end, is that Jesus is the one who has authority as God over the wind and the waves. But we can't miss the point here as well that Jesus was asleep. Jesus had been teaching, Jesus had been healing, Jesus had gone out in the boat, had lain down, and was exhausted. And so Jesus went to sleep. We'll come back to this later on. But yet one obvious conclusion from this is that Jesus was tired and he needed sleep. We see the same thing at the story of the woman at the well. So in John 4, verse 6, we read that Jesus was tired from the journey, and so he sat down by the well. And so in these two instances, we see that Jesus either slept or Jesus needed his sleep. As one writer has said, the fact that Jesus slept is as profound as the fact that Jesus wept. Both of these instances show the humanity of Christ. Jesus got tired and went to sleep. He needed to sleep, and if he needed to sleep, then I think that shows that we probably do as well. According to all the research, we need to sleep to be renewed mentally and physically. This is what the Mental Health Foundation in the UK says. Sleep is as important to our bodies as eating, drinking, and breathing, and it is vital for maintaining good mental and physical health. Sleeping helps to repair and restore our bodies and brains. And Jesus is concerned and he cares that we get this sort of rest. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, in Mark 6, verse 31, Jesus says these words to his disciples: come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And see, Jesus' concern that his disciples got some rest. Maybe these are important words for us here in Hong Kong. Are there some of us, and Jesus wants to minister to us by telling us that we need to get some more rest? Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus knows that we need rest, that we need sleep. In Isaiah 40, verse 30, it says that even youths grow tired and weary. So this is part of our common humanity. God has created us to sleep, and we deny who we are if we ignore it. If you are interested, I think there probably was sleep in the Garden of Eden before the fall. I'm not sure whether there'll be sleep in the new creation or not. And if you're interested in one of those more esoteric theological issues, you can speak with me about that afterwards. Anyway, my point here is that sleep is necessary. And this is also borne out by the evidence of science as well. What are the effects of a lack of sleep? Well, first of all, there are physical effects. These include increased risk of strokes, increased risk of heart disease, damage to your DNA, lowered immunity, leading to increased risk of infection. How many of us here in Hong Kong maybe get ill over the winter because we aren't sleeping as much as we need to, and lots of other things too. We also see mental effects. Some of you may remember what it was like to work all night when you were studying at college or university, but equally you probably know that the next day you were just wrecked and you were sort of not useful for anything, and therefore you needed to rest the day after. You couldn't keep up that kind of sleepless routine regularly. We know that lack of sleep leads to lower creativity, reduced productivity, and slowed reactions. There are also emotional consequences as well. One particularly well-documented study in 2013 found that those who suffer from insomnia were 10 times more likely to suffer from depression and were 17 times more likely to suffer from anxiety-related disorders than those who get enough sleep. And again, we know this from personal experience. If we don't get enough sleep, how many of us here wake up in the morning irritable, grumpy, and bad-tempered? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if that's you, but I think that's probably most of us, unless we happen to be irritable, grumpy, and bad-tempered, even when we're well-rested, which is also a possibility. I know personally I'm a lot less patient with the kids when I've not slept well. I know it's not easy, but some of us probably owe it to those we live with to get some more sleep in life. Then lack of sleep is also dangerous. It accounts for 20% of all road accidents in the USA. And in doctors, those who sleep less than 6 hours a night are more than twice as likely to make mistakes at work. So if you're going to see your doctor, ask how much sleep they've had the night before. Now, that's obviously a lot of different statistics, and there's many more I could have given you again, which are all very interesting. But the reason I quote those is hopefully you get some idea of just how important sleep is. When we don't sleep, we make mistakes. This is former US President Bill Clinton. He once said, "Every important mistake I've made in my life, I've made it because I was tired." It's quite an admission, isn't it? The importance of sleep. And so what this means for us is there's really no time for the view that we sometimes hear that sleep's basically a waste of time and it's okay to abuse our bodies and push them to the limit. You know, someone says, there's so much to see and do in life and in the world, there's so much I want to achieve that I just don't really want to waste my time in bed sleeping. There can be this attitude, especially here in Hong Kong, that wears our lack of sleep as a kind of badge of honour. As if it shows how important we are, or how successful we are, or how much worth we have, or how hard we are working. Sometimes Christians might even be tempted to view sleep as unspiritual. However, all that we've looked at so far reminds us that sleep is necessary. We were created to need sleep. Jesus needed sleep, and we do too. Here is some wisdom from theologian Don Carson. "Sometimes the godliest thing you can do in the universe is to get a good night's sleep. Not pray all night, but sleep. I'm certainly not denying that there may be a place for praying all night. I'm merely insisting that in the normal course of things, spiritual discipline obligates you to get the sleep your body needs." That's one of the leading theologians, I would say, in the world. And so maybe we need to ask ourselves this morning some questions. Okay, I know the seasons of life, but how much sleep are you getting at the moment? Is that less than the 7 or 8 hours that you need to be a healthy adult? And if so, why is that? Do you agree that sleep is a spiritual issue? Well, we need to move on, and we also see that sleep is a gift. And so here we see, first of all, that sleep is a gift from God. We'll come back to these psalms in a moment, but for now let's note that in each case, the psalmist sees sleep as a gift from God. So Psalm 4, verse 8, it was read for us, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Psalm 3, verse 5, "I lie down and sleep, I wake again, because the Lord sustains me." So in both of these cases, the psalmist recognizes that ultimately his sleep comes from God. It's a gift from him. Well known, Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." When it talks there about making us lie down in green pastures, that has to be referring to sleep. You may not know this, but the only thing that sheep do in their lives lying down is sleep. Everything else they do standing up. The only time a sheep lies down is when it's going to sleep. And so again, this is saying that God is the one who grants sleep. Another example would be Psalm 127, verse 2, which refers to God granting sleep to those whom he loves. Now, of course, sleep does not always come, but this is a reminder that when it does come, it is a gift from God. So we know that we sleep when we're tired, we sleep when we're exhausted, we sleep after we've had a long day at work, but ultimately it is God who gives us sleep as one of his good gifts. We all know that there's something mysterious about sleep. Christopher Ashe, in his book, comments, "Sleep is a strange and puzzling phenomenon. We know what it is to have deep and restful sleep and to wake refreshed. We know what it is to have too little sleep. We know what it is to have plenty of hours in bed, yet to wake not feeling refreshed. We know something of peaceful sleep and troubled sleep, but we do not really understand what makes the difference between them. Good sleep is a gracious gift of God." So sleep is a gift from God, then it's also a gift for us. Now, we need to say at this point, like all of God's good gifts, the gift of sleep can be abused, and it can become an idol for us, something we love too much. And we're especially warned about this in the book of Proverbs. So this is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. "And do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you'll have food to spare." So sleep can be a bad thing. And it's a bad thing if it stops you from working and being productive with your life and being lazy. We're not to sleep too much. But yet, sleep is still a good gift from God. Again, this means that we need to admit that we need it and not reject God's good gift to us. I think it also means we need to ask for it. If you're struggling to sleep, when was the last time that you asked for God's help to sleep before you went to bed? James 4 verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Is it possible that the reason that some of us aren't sleeping is because we are not asking God for it? Have we asked for the gift of sleep? We're to depend on God for everything. In the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to pray for our daily bread. Is it not also the case that we ought to ask for our daily sleep? And then if sleep is a good gift from God, we also need to give thanks for it. I can remember when I was a younger Christian, I'd often hear older Christians praying in the morning and giving thanks for the rest of the past night. And as a younger Christian, I always thought that was just a little bit unnecessary and a little bit redundant. However, hopefully I'm now a bit older and wiser. And if sleep's a good gift from God, and if we're sleeping well, then when was the last time you gave thanks to God for a good night's sleep? And when you woke up in the morning feeling really refreshed and ready to go? And then if sleep is a gift from God, we also need to make time to receive it. This is not to say that we're guaranteed a good night's sleep if we pray for it, but it is to say that we can't expect to sleep well if we aren't making adequate time for it in our schedules and in our daily routines. We need to make time for God to give us his good gift of sleep. And a little bit more on some practical ways to do that later. And so we've seen that sleep is necessary and sleep's a gift. Number three, we also see that sleep is an expression of faith. And this takes us back to some of the psalms that we've just looked at. If we ask the question, why does the psalmist sleep? Then the answer is because he's trusting in God. So Psalm 4 verse 8, David is fleeing from his enemies, yet he can sleep well, not because he's surrounded by his armies, but because he has faith in God. I lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's the same in Psalm 3 verse 5. Again, David's being pursued. David can lie down and wake again because the Lord sustains me. And it's really obvious when we come to Psalm 127 verse 2. This verse says, in vain you rise early and stay up late toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. And again, one of these good Hong Kong scripture verses. It's a basic contrast really here between someone who trusts in himself, anxiously toiling away with his own strength, and someone who sleeps soundly and well because they are trusting in God. And so really all of these verses are saying that one reason why we don't sleep often is because we are anxious. We're depending on ourselves. We lie awake worrying about our kids, worrying about our work, worrying about our future, worrying about our relationship status maybe. But the answer to all of these things is to trust in God. There is one who knows, there is one who cares, there's one who is sovereign over the whole universe, and he is also the one that orders our lives individually. Nothing happens. Not a hair can fall from our heads apart from his will. And so really, sleep is an expression of faith and trust in God. When we sleep, we're saying it doesn't all depend on me. Rather, I'm choosing to trust in God and to take this time to get the sleep I know that I need. I think this is also the key to Jesus in the storm. What's the difference between Jesus and the disciples in that boat? Well, one difference is that Jesus is asleep. And the reason why is because Jesus knows that this is not his time to die. He's not going to die in some storm on the Sea of Galilee. No, he's trusting in the perfect plan of his Father in heaven. And so he sleeps while the disciples are panicking and out of their minds with fear. And I think this is also true for me. Some of the reasons that I've struggled to sleep are probably medical. But some of it, if I'm honest, is also anxiety and depending too much on myself. I lie awake thinking about various issues which are going on, and I basically need to learn to entrust them to my Heavenly Father and not act like it all depends on me. One great way to think about sleep is we sleep because God does not. Okay? We sleep because God does not. He's in sovereign control of the universe, and he never goes to sleep. Listen to these great words from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Really, the key verse for us there is verse 4. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And the word there for slumber is one that could be best translated into English as drowsiness. God never nods off. Okay, God is not drowsy. And then the other one is just the normal Hebrew word for sleep. Neither does God sleep. Why can we sleep soundly at night? Well, we have a God who is always in control of the universe. He never takes a break. He never needs a nap. He never takes his hand off the steering wheel. He never loses concentration, even for a moment. We can sleep because God does not. He is the God that never slumbers and never sleeps. And so again, it's worth us indulging in a bit of self-reflection. If we are struggling to sleep at the moment, or we aren't making time for God to give us the good gift of sleep at the moment, it's worth asking, well, what am I anxious about? Who am I depending on? What am I trusting in? Am I acting like it all depends on me, filled with anxiety? Or am I trusting, resting in the sovereign God who is always in control of my life? See, God's sleeplessness means that we can sleep well. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. We can sleep because God does not. Number 4, we also see that sleep is a picture of the future. So actually one of the commonest ways that the Bible uses the language of waking and sleeping is for death and resurrection. It refers to death as a kind of sleep and then resurrection as waking up. Now, of course, in one sense, this is true for everyone. So Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So then, Daniel's saying that everyone will sleep in the dust of the earth, as in everyone will die, and everyone will rise again to face judgment. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our lives, and only those that have repented of their sins and placed their faith in Christ will be saved. If you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian, the Bible is really, really clear on this. One day, the books will be opened, we will give an account, and our only hope will be Christ's righteousness and not our own. However, there's also a special way that this language of sleeping and waking is a particular encouragement for us if we're a Christian. For if we're Christians, we know that one day we will fall asleep in death and then awake to a glorious new resurrection existence when Christ returns. And of course, we'll be with Christ in heaven in the intervening period. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 and 16. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, i.e. those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So sleep, as in death, are followed by resurrection when Christ returns. And really all of this underlines the fact that for the Christian, death is not the end. That's part of the wonderful hope of Christ. Just as we fall asleep each night, fully expecting to wake the next morning, so we will one day close our eyes in death in the full and sure hope that we will wake up in a glorious new world at the resurrection of the dead. And the world around us has no such hope. The world around us sees death as the end, the full stop at the end of the sentence of your life. Or it only offers a very vague hope. That's why people in the world need to cram their lives so full, so constantly, and rob themselves of sleep. But yet the Christian view is very, very different to all that. We know that death is not the end. It's only a nap. It's like a passing phase that will usher in a glorious future when we'll be free from sickness, sorrow, suffering, sin, and death. On old gravestones of Christians, they used to write the words, "Asleep in Jesus." Asleep in Jesus. And that is exactly right. If we're Christians and we're dead, that is exactly what we are. Asleep in him. Asleep in Jesus. And so for us, this means that if we're Christians, we can sleep well, knowing that our greatest need in life is already taken care of. Whether we die this evening or we die at some point in the future, we are forgiven and will one day go to be with Christ. And then it's also healthy to remember that sleep itself is a picture of our future. Each night, as we go off to sleep, it's helpful to remember what this sleep is a picture of. It's a picture of that great day when we will close our eyes for good, and then we will wake up and be with Christ forever and ever. Is that a hope that you have? So I hope some of this helps you sleep. We need sleep. Sleep's a gift from God. Sleep's an expression of our faith, and sleep is a picture of our future. Is there anything practically that we can do to help us sleep? Well, the big word for this is sleep hygiene, and there's a lot of things that experts recommend. Some of the things that help us sleep will be unique to us as individuals, such as the temperature that we like the AC to be at, what side of the bed we like to sleep on, that special blanket or that special cuddly toy maybe that we've had since we are a kid. And even if you're an adult, you don't need to admit that's true for you. But there are some things, of course, that are more universally true. Avoiding caffeine or eating a big meal right before we go to bed. Those are obvious ones. Having a good bedtime routine. That includes time to wind down from the day and get ready for bed. Those of us that have kids insist on pre-bedtime routines for our kids because we know it really helps them. It would also help us as adults to have a pre-bedtime routine. Limiting the amount of TV and computer games, Xbox, movies, email and screen time right before we go to sleep. Again, this is an obvious one. One of the best things and most helpful things that I've done to improve my own sleep is actually leaving my mobile phone in the lounge so that I'm not tempted to go anywhere near it and check email during the night. Going to bed at the same time each night so your body knows what to expect. It starts releasing the right chemicals and gets your mind and body ready for sleep. And maybe some of you just need to do some very simple maths on this one. If you need 7 or 8 hours a night and you've got to wake up for work at a certain time every morning, probably most of us can manage to work backwards and see what time we need to be in bed by and asleep. And I'm guessing for most of us here, that's going to be between 10:30 and 11 o'clock at night. Now, I know that all of these things might not be possible for everyone. We're all at different stages of life and different seasons, kids, you know, I get all that stuff. But these are good advice and a really great place to start. There's also some things that can be really helpful spiritually as well in terms of getting more sleep. Praying and asking God for good sleep. Taking a few moments at the end of the day just to reflect on that day, how things have gone, maybe giving thanks to God for it and actively committing our cares and anxieties into his hands, remembering that it doesn't all depend on us, that we can take the time to sleep, trusting in the sovereign God of the universe. If you're married, maybe praying with your spouse as a couple, maybe accepting that there will be different seasons of life, like having young kids, when we will be more sleep deprived and resolving to be extra kind and extra gracious with our spouses as a result during those seasons. And then after that, you can lie down to sleep, safe in the arms of the God who never slumbers nor sleeps. And that's not to say, of course, that we'll get a great night's sleep every night, but we at least we'll have done all that we can to try and ensure that we get the God-given rest that we need. I'd like to close with a prayer from the book there, which is on the screen, The Valley of Vision. This is a wonderful collection of Puritan prayers. Some of the words might be a bit old for some of us, but this is an excerpt from a Puritan prayer on sleep. Blessed Creator, thou hast promised thy beloved sleep. Give me restoring rest, needful for tomorrow's toil. If dreams be mine, let them not be tinged with evil. Let thy spirit make my time of repose a blessed temple of his holy presence. Withhold not thy mercies in the night season. Thy hand never wearies. Thy power needs no repose. Thine eye never sleeps. Help me when I helpless lie, when my conscience accuses me of sin, when my mind is harassed by foreboding thoughts, when my eyes are held awake by personal anxieties. Show thyself to me as the God of all grace, love and power. Thou hast a balm for every wound, a solace for all anguish, a remedy for every pain, a peace for all disquiet. Permit me to commit myself to thee, awake or asleep. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen.